The first time I ever asked, "Wait, what?" was moments before my son, Will, was born. Katie and I thought we had the whole labor and delivery thing figured out, even though we were first-time parents. We went to birthing classes, we practiced breathing, we watched videos. When the moment came, and Katie's water broke on the morning of February 25th, 1996, we knew we were ready. We checked into the Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, and were taken to a labor and delivery room, which was decorated like a room in a Marriott hotel. Because this was her first time, Katie had no real idea whether she was in active labor or not. She had some mild pains, but the veteran nurses were not impressed. As we walked around the hospital, hoping to speed up the process, with Katie mostly smiling and occasionally wincing, one older nurse told her in classic New York fashion, "Honey, you know what you need? A real contraction." The real contractions came about 10 hours later. They were hard to miss. The problem was that nothing else seemed to be happening, and after a while, Katie and our soon-to-be son, Will, started to suffer. The doctor came into the room and said, nonchalantly, that it was time to take us to a different room. This was not part of the original plan, but we went along without question, ironically enough, given the topic of this book. The other room was actually an operating room, so we went from the cozy confines of our ersatz hotel quarters into a brightly lit, cold, tiled chamber. Waiting for us was a team of technicians and nurses. I stood next to Katie's bed while the doctor explained very calmly that Will was essentially stuck, likely because he had a very large head, and that they had to get him out right away. The doctor asked if we preferred forceps or a suction cup to aid the delivery. Katie screamed, "Just make it stop." This was not directly responsive to the question, but I decided it was best not to point that out. I instead replied that I thought the doctor might be in a better position to make the choice, given that this was basically our first time at this. He decided on the suction cup. The next thing I knew, a man appeared next to me and introduced himself as a doctor. He then explained, very calmly, that he was going to press his forearm on Katie's stomach and squeeze out our baby, kind of like you might squeeze a pit out of an olive. As he reached across Katie's stomach and grabbed the opposite bed rail for leverage, I distinctly remember thinking that we never went over this particular procedure in birthing class, nor was this squeeze the pit out of the olive move ever featured in our birthing videos. But all I could say was, "Wait, what?" Instead of answering, the doctor pressed down on Katie's stomach. Katie politely explained that this was causing her some mild discomfort. I think her exact words were, "Get off me or I'll kill you." Moments later, Will acted just like an olive pit and popped out. I had heard the question, "Wait, what?" long before I posed it myself in the delivery room. One of my college roommates, Keith Flavel, asked this question all the time. A lovable and affable Canadian, Keith found many of his roommates, including me, hard to comprehend at times. "Wait, what?" became Keith's almost reflexive response to our conversations, which typically contained assertions ranging from the mildly unbelievable to the ludicrous. Yet to my knowledge, the question was unique to Keith. It was his signature question. I have since been told that the question is common among Canadians, but I haven't been able to determine if it was common back in the mid-1980s when Keith and I were in college. In fact, I have not been able to pinpoint where or when this question first appeared. For all I know, Keith started an international trend. When Keith and I parted ways after graduation, the question largely disappeared from my life, at least for a while. Katie asked the question occasionally, having picked it up from Keith, but I never heard anyone else ask it. Then our son Will, appropriately enough, given his origins, started asking the question about 10 years ago. I noticed his friends also posed the question. And then, almost overnight, it seemed that everywhere I went, someone was asking this question. It is now a staple of everyday conversations, especially among those under 30, though it is certainly not confined to millennials. Some traditional grammarians may lament the spread of this particular question, complaining perhaps about the seeming superfluity of "wait." Others might go further and point to it as just more proof of the degradation of the English language and the decline of civilization. But haters are going to hate, as they say. And in this case, the skeptics are wrong, because wait what is a truly great question. Indeed, this deceptively simple question is essential, if not profound, once you fully appreciate how it can be used.